Hey, I'm Lisa Whittle, and welcome to the Jesus Over Everything Show, affectionately known as Joe, where around here you will always hear honest conversations about life, faith, and true strength, courage, and love in the midst of our real everyday life. Want to give a quick shout out to my partner this month, the Abide Bible. If you struggle to be fully present in your devotions and reading the Word of God, this is a great option for you. Too often we open our Bibles only to feel distracted, confused, or overwhelmed if we're opening our Bibles at all. The Abide Bible is designed to help you truly connect with God's Word by giving you guided practices to experience, understand, and apply Scripture in powerful ways. Check out the Abide Bible at startabide.com, and it's linked, of course, in the show notes. Today's guest, best-selling author and podcast host Becky Thompson, is here to talk all about one of my favorite subjects, the Holy Spirit, and His power and presence in our lives. How to hear from the Holy Spirit, what blocks us, and what Jesus meant when He said He was leaving us with something better when He left this earth. Hard to believe that anything would be better than the presence of God in physical form, but that's what He said. All of that plus much more about her new book, God So Close, and a passage of Scripture we shared that is a huge favorite of both of ours, all on Today's Joe. Okay, so Becky, hi and nice to meet you. This is our first time meeting, actually.
I know, I love it. I'm so grateful. Thanks for giving me a chance to have this conversation with you, Lisa.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be really good because of what we're going to talk about today. So, husband, three kids, Oklahoma. I spent a little bit of my childhood in Oklahoma, not too long, but a bit of time. If someone is from, let's say, North Carolina, since that's where I live, they've never been to Oklahoma, what would you tell them that they need to know about Oklahoma?
I feel like everything people need to know about Oklahoma, they probably already have assumed about it, you know? Like,
well, that might not be true, though.
Sure,
do they truly need to know about Oklahoma? Because I think about gymnastics when I think about Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Is that a weird thought?
No, Shannon Miller is from Oklahoma.
Right, yeah.
So, anyway, no, Oklahoma is a beautiful place to raise a family and live. The people don't put up with each other. They rely on each other, which is something really unique to this place. So we have four seasons. Yesterday it was a high of 80 degrees in February, and today there's a literal blizzard warning.
Wow.
So you just never really know what you're going to expect. And unless it has to do with the people are always the same and they're just wonderful. So,
okay. So maybe that balances it out. You've got stable people in unstable weather. So that balances it. Okay. And I should say gymnastics is not the only thing I think about when I think of Oklahoma. I also think about tornadoes.
Oh, those are real.
About the ringworm that I caught in Oklahoma. I'm
awkward,
being facetious.
Okay.
I also came to know Jesus in Oklahoma. So Oklahoma, yes, is very special to me. And you're right. The people in Oklahoma are just, they're just really beautiful souls. They really are. They're dependable and I would say strong in the Lord and just really good folks. So I love Oklahoma. I'm a little biased because that was a beautiful time in my life as a child and of course gave my heart to Jesus in Oklahoma. So it will always hold a special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I don't know much about you. I don't know a lot of your story. When did you start writing?
Well, I love my story, Lisa. Thanks for giving me a chance to tell a little bit about it. So I actually started writing through the blogging world, and I didn't set out to be a blogger. Actually, I was just a stay-at-home mom, two little bitty kids, and I'd lost myself in just raising them and really trying to find identity in that space. And, you know, we know that our identity is in who God called us to be, and that was just a title, is just a title I wear today as mom. But anyway, lost in that space and actually went online to find a new outfit. It's so strange. People are like, how do you write books? I bought a new outfit. So I bought an outfit. Amen. Clothes can change your life. So I bought this outfit, right? Don't let anybody tell you that buying an outfit won't change your life. It does. So bought this outfit online boutique, posted it to this little competition they were having, you know, get likes on your picture, we'll send you free clothes. And nobody liked my picture except the owner of the boutique, who sent me a message saying, "Hey, are you a fashion blogger?" And I'm like, first of all, nobody liked my picture. So I don't know why, what. I kind of thought she was pranking me. Not really, but I was just like, what's this about? So she said, "I love how you modeled that. If I sent you clothes, you know, you could post them on your website if you had one." And I was like, I am a fashion blogger. It's so funny.
Thanks for asking. I actually am.
And so, Lisa, I set up a blog that day with a really weird name, Scissor Tail Silk. Scissor Tail's the state bird of Oklahoma. Okay. Silk is an old slang word for barbed wire. And I live in the middle of nowhere. So you'd see these birds sitting on a barbed wire fence. And it just felt like that was me sitting alone, singing my little song. And it was a play on words for clothing and silk and whatever. Anyway, Jesus knew what he was doing, because I thought I was writing about clothes, and it turned into this whole opportunity to share what he was doing in my life and how I was finding him in the story and a part of the story that I wasn't expecting to live or write. So I had one post in 2014 that went viral, and I mean, millions of shares on it on Facebook before things were getting millions of shares on them. Like, video wasn't even a thing on Facebook.
Wow.
And so the post goes crazy, and agents and editors started following my work, and I didn't realize that. And then, you know, a few months later, they were like, "We're seeing all of your stuff pop up in our feed. Have you ever thought about writing a book?" And I thought, well, I didn't really think about starting a blog either. So my answer is yes. I would love to write a book, because the truth is, Lisa, my story actually started before the blog and all of that. I felt like God had called me to lead hearts back to His. And when I didn't marry a pastor or go into some traditional form of ministry, I felt lost in my own story. I felt like, how could God ever use me in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, raising babies? You know, what is this even going to turn out to be? And here we are. This is my eighth book that I've written, and since 2014. So
that is a super fun story. I love that I didn't know it, and I love that it was more than I bargained for, and I love that it involves the internet randomness and all of that's super fun. It also brought me back to the early blogging days when people would have random, you know, names for their blog. That you would never know who that was or whatever. It was just some kind of random name. But that's kind of how it all rolled out. So that's super fun. You know, everything that seems random rarely is. And
that's the truth.
I think it's also just a testament to walking through everyday things, opportunity. You can call them opportunities, but I think even at the time, it probably didn't even feel like a huge opportunity. It was just more of an everyday occurrence almost. And I think we look for these huge ways to have God use our life. And the reality is, it might be an actually seemingly obscure way, but you know, we don't know what God knows about it. And so we have to really say, whatever you want to do with my life is fine. I'm not going to look way out into the future or into this big opportunity. I'm just going to steward well what is right in front of me that might seem like it's weird, you know, or it might seem like it's not even that cool or whatever the case may be. We know that in our head, but I think a story like this helps crystallize that. And so thank you for sharing that. It's really good. Okay, we're going to take a hard turn here from clothes to the Holy Spirit. But listen, it's all in our life. So
they're related.
You know what I mean? Like we can go. We're multifaceted people here.
Yeah.
I love that you've written, though, a book about the Holy Spirit. And here's what's interesting. I think, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, nobody was really writing about the Holy Spirit. I'm sure there was a book here and there. I do remember Francis Chan, maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, wrote a book about the Holy Spirit. But I think more people are talking about the Holy Spirit, writing about the Holy Spirit. Do you have a thought as to why that is?
Well, yeah, I love Francis Chan's book, Forgotten God. I think that's his.
Yes, Forgotten God, that's it.
But you know what? My experience has been a little different, because I was actually raised with a deep teaching and understanding of who the Holy Spirit was, and how my story of like clothes and how writing sort of connects is, I was driving in my car in the middle of nowhere, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I started this little fashion blog and said, I'm going to give you an audience and you will be responsible for them. And I didn't know what that would mean or what it would transition into, Lisa, but hearing his voice in that way then knew that this thing that didn't make a lot of sense had greater value than what I was doing. And so because I was raised in this church and even not just in my church, because my church didn't do a whole lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit, it was my parents who, you know, took us to church services that were like unique or special, or where there was more teaching, or where they were more open to discussing the Holy Spirit or experiencing what, you know, an encounter with him might look like. Because that was a part of my story, it wasn't odd when God began to speak directly to me. I recognized his voice. So this teaching has been a part of who I am for a really long time, but I feel like now there's almost more, I want to say there's less hesitancy and more curiosity. I feel like there are less people saying he's dangerous, he's strange, you should avoid him, he's only for certain kinds of Christians, or, you know, you can't control the Holy Spirit. You know, have you seen those kinds of churches where, you know, the Holy Spirit shows up? And we're starting to have an understanding, Lisa, where we see that God comes close through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And this is how we know Jesus. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we know Jesus at all. He makes Jesus real to us. And so I can't speak for church culture. I can't say why I think, you know, we're leaning more into his presence, but I can say I'm so excited about it because I feel like he's been really a shut off portion of the power and the presence of God in our lives. And I feel like he's saying, he's inviting daughters specifically, that's what he's asked me to speak into, the daughters of God, into this relationship that was always available, but maybe wasn't sought out or was warned against.
You know, I think you make a good point here in what you're saying, because I feel like that it does sort of depend, like how you feel about the Holy Spirit or the willingness to sort of explore, talk about, be open about. There is a part of that that depends on how you were raised in what sort of denomination, perhaps. How open your family was about the fact that the Holy Spirit is a very important part of your spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that was not talked about, if that was sort of taboo, if there was fear around it. So mm-hmm. I think it is very important to note that your childhood, that your history with the Lord, whenever you came to know the Lord, maybe you didn't come to know the Lord as a child, maybe it was old, maybe it was later in life, whenever, but your history surrounding what you were taught early on in your relationship with Jesus about the Holy Spirit will really inform the way that you want to explore that or talk about that. And so I sure. think that is super important mm-hmm. to point out. Do you remember the first time you thought to yourself, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me clearly?
I can remember the first time that I encountered his presence in a way that I knew he was real. But I can't remember the first time that I was like, that was definitely God's voice, because I feel like, okay, here's how I feel like a lot of us encounter the voice of the Lord in our lives. We know that God hasn't lost his voice, right? Like he called the world into creation. He spoke to the prophets. He spoke through Jesus, the Son. He gave us scripture as the word. And then Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide and teach. And those are speaking roles, right? Like those are things that, you know, he communicates to our hearts. And so sometimes when God speaks to us, we think of voice, we think of sound. But the reality is there were so many times in scripture when God spoke through a dream and people received a message from God through a way that they didn't anticipate, because maybe they were thinking of just sound like we do. And so in my life, I was surrounded by a lot of people who clearly heard the voice of the Lord, because they would say things to me like, God told me. And I thought that meant that they had heard something with their ears. I thought that meant that they were in a room and they, you know, had this beyond a shadow of a doubt encounter with the Spirit of God. And as I got older, I realized that when we are drawn into a relationship with the Lord, it's the prompting and pull of the Holy Spirit which draws us even to pursue God at all. You know, no man comes to the Father unless he's first drawn. And so we think the first step of hearing God is hearing God. But the first step is actually having a heart that listens and learns the way that he speaks, because he speaks in so many different ways. And so I think my first moment of hearing God was actually when I began to go back and go, oh, the Lord led me there. I just didn't realize that was his voice. I thought it was a thought that I had. The Lord prompted me to do that. And I just thought that I was having a really good idea, you know, but that was actually the Holy Spirit giving me a nudge. You know, there's so many times, Lisa, where I feel like we attribute to our, you know, our gut what's actually the Holy Spirit. Or we attribute to like our mom sense, like something's going on in the room. I just have a feeling, you know, my mom sense is tingling. I need to go check it. Or, you know, I just need to call my husband or make sure everything's okay or whatever it is in our lives. But really, it's the voice of the Lord speaking to us. And we just haven't said, oh, that's him. And that's what I'm just really passionate about, that, about reminding women that there aren't those who hear God and who don't hear God. There are just those who have already learned to recognize his voice.
I think what you're talking about, what comes to my mind is, you know, that God is speaking to us. It's he's speaking to us through an impression. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like an impression that we have or a sense, but it is a way of speaking. It's just not vocal. It's not vocally, but it's through that sort of impression. And one of the reasons why, even kind of circling back to what we were just talking about, I think that we are more open is our level of desperation is up as well. And I think that's so powerful, because I think we're saying, oh, I need this guide in my life. I need what the Holy Spirit actually provides. And so I'm hungry for that. And as we know, as we hunger for God, you know, God comes through and comes near. I mean, that's what he's waiting for, is for our hunger and our desperation. So I love that. I wonder too, if, you know, the reason why people feel like, well, you know, God doesn't speak to me and he speaks to other people, or they misunderstand the Holy Spirit, or they hold back from it, or whatever the case may be, is because people have misused that at times as well. I mean, there is a reality of that. And of course, we can't judge other people. We don't know when the Lord's spoken to them or not. But there is sort of this spiritual culture that we have that we need to acknowledge and say out loud that, you know, I think God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus get blamed for a lot of things that they're not speaking at all.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I know that's true. I think everything that we hear somebody say on behalf of God, anytime someone says, I heard God say, or this is something I feel like God is leading me to share with you, we have to pray on it. We have to spend time with that and say, Lord, do I hear your voice in that? Is there peace in that message? Is there love in that message? You know, whenever I feel like God has said something to me, I ask myself a number of questions. And one of those questions is, does this sound like something Jesus himself would have said in scripture? You know, I know him through his word. So if Jesus wouldn't say it to my face, this person shouldn't say this to my face. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't hear the voice of God himself standing in front of me, the kind, loving, compassionate Jesus that I know, saying, you know, whatever it is that some person has said, I guess I just don't have to take it. I have the power and the relationship with the Lord on my end to say, you know what, I just don't hear God saying that, so I'm not going to receive that. No, thank you. You know what I mean? And then if God wants to confirm it later, he can. But I feel like this is where having our own understanding of his voice is so important, because there are some people that we say, well, they hear from God, pastors, teachers, people with podcasts, you know, like people that we've put in any sort of influence over our lives, saying, I trust them in their relationship with God. But if we don't have our own foundational space where we can judge what we're hearing based on who God has revealed himself to us personally, then it's not a healthy place to be in. And so I know there's a lot of hurt. And I hear you wanting to address that, the hurt of the people who have spoken on behalf of the Lord and said things to our hearts that, you know, God wouldn't say. And I feel like it's so important to not just acknowledge the pain, but acknowledge the truth that just because people have misused the powerful voice of God and the role of speaking, you know, for him or allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through them, doesn't mean that he doesn't still do that in a really healthy way.
Absolutely. Okay, so this is along the same lines. Let's go ahead and dive into it since we're kind of on the subject. I wanted to do something that I don't typically do, but I loved this so much in your book that I wanted to do this. And that is, I want to kind of go to the back of the book because to me, it may be the most important part of your book to me. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But, and this is a little bit of a weird question, but I'm curious about this for you. This is my 9th book I'm working on. You're in the 8th book, and so we're in the same place. Do you have strong feelings about your last chapters of your book? Because I definitely do. My last book chapters are always super important to me. Sometimes they're the most important chapter to me. Do you feel that way about your last chapters, or do I just feel that way about mine?
Oh, absolutely. No, we are totally on the same page. That's about fun. That. So I love that you love chapter. It's in 14 in this book. I think it's 14. This book has 14 chapters.
It's called I'm The looking, Pursuit of God. It's
I'm
called
flipping The Pursuit of God. Through. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know which one you're talking about. Yes, 14 chapters. So, but yeah, it was actually going to be chapter one. That was, it was going to be chapter one.
Okay.
And I thought, this is our bow at the end.
Yeah,
this is what we tie everything up in. And so if we've made it to chapter 14, this is our tidy little, here's everything you just learned and here's what you need to do with it now.
But see, what's fun about that though is for me, my beginning chapters and my end chapters, well, I always say I write in bookends. So mm-hmm. my first and last chapters always nod to each other because that's the way I think. So I always think about where we're starting, where we're ending. And so I would say a lot of things that go in my last chapters could be in my first chapters because they really sort of go together. But here's why I love the last chapter of The Pursuit of God. You bring in the scripture from John 1 where Jesus asked the question in the New Living Translation. It is, what do you want? Which mm-hmm. actually was why I wrote a book back in 2012 called I Want God, which is the my very most favorite book that I've ever written.
I love that.
It is. It's my favorite. I can't help it. And so, because it started a lot of things in my life for me. It was a revival of my soul. And so, but it was based on John 1. It was based on this question and that whole interchange in the original translation. It is, what seek ye? What are you looking for? And so talk to me about what marked you about this passage and what that means for us today.
I feel like I can remember sitting at my kitchen table when I was reading my Bible and came across that, what do you seek? What do you want? And the thought of Jesus turning to these men that were following him down the road and not saying, hey, what do you need? Or what can I do for you? It's why are you following me? Not why are they? Not who, you know what I mean? It was just so direct and personal. And it required definition. It required them to define in an instant if they were curious, if they just wanted to know more information, you know, if they were hopeful, if they, you know what I mean? Like, this is what I feel like Jesus turns and asks all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, and you wrote a book on it. And so I love that.
It's funny. When I was reading your chapter, Becky, it was you pulled out a lot of the same things that I noticed. And then you pulled out things that were different from things I pulled out. So I love, of course, scripture has that for all of us that, you know, it's different ways that we all look at a scripture, but the Holy Spirit speaks to us about mm-hmm. the scripture in different mm-hmm. ways. So I loved that when I was reading it.
I love that. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. What do you seek? And so I feel like that's what God asks all of us. And when it comes down to it, are you following me because you want more information? Are you following me because you just want healing? Are you following me because you need something from me? Mm. Or are you following me because you want me?
Yes.
And those are all very different motives of our hearts. And therefore, they have very different discoveries at the end of during our process of following him.
That is a really rich thing to pull out. And, you know, you talked about something that was really kind of my whole journey with I Want God, and what I really talk about in that book, which is want and need are completely different, and that the desire is what it creates the revival in our soul. And so that's just a whole process. And so it marked me in such a profound way when I was reading that. I just loved that. I thought, oh, Becky and I are so on the same page, and also just reminded me of how rich that scripture was, and how life-giving that is, especially for what you're talking about in God so close. I think people miss sometimes that when Jesus left the earth, he said, I'm leaving you with something, with someone even better.
Right.
I think that like we miss that, because here's the thing, Becky, it feels like there could not be possibly anything better than having Jesus here in the flesh with us, right?
Right.
Like, we feel like if I had Jesus with me to hug, I mean, that sounds so silly to even say it, but it's like, that's how we feel. Like if I could touch him, if I could see him, if he could physically wipe my tears, then I would, you know, I would feel better, or my life would be different. I would have the peace, but he's not here, and I can't see him, and I can't feel him, and I can't touch him. And he's not, you know, he's not physically here with me. So what I would love for you to talk about is, how can the Holy Spirit be better?
Right. Oh, I love this question. I love it, because I feel like when we grab hold of this, we look up from the pages of scripture and Jesus is in the room wiping our tears.
Yeah,
we look up from the situation of what we're doing and Jesus is standing with us at the kitchen table, you know, while we're going through the bills and trying to figure it all out. Jesus is there in the middle of the fight with your spouse. Jesus is there in the, you know, situation with your teen. Jesus is there in all of it. And this is how Jesus says he will come close. I'm reading from John 14, and this is the NKJV version. But it says, if you love me, keep my commands. John 14, 15 through 17. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so how does Jesus come to us? He comes to us through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And so here's where we have to get really good teaching on the Holy Spirit and the reality that the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a force. We attribute him to feeling like wind or fire or, you know, all these things in scripture, but he is a person without a body. He has a mind. He has will, he has emotions, and he just doesn't have the confines of a body. And here's how I describe it in the book and to all of my friends for all of my life. You know, everybody who's always been like, I just don't get the Holy Spirit. I don't understand him or it. I say this, you are not your body, right? If something happens to a portion of your body, you still are you, because you are a spirit who lives in a body. You are you so much that when you pass away from this earth, your body will remain here, but you as a person in your spirit will be in heaven, and scripture says will receive a new body. So you are you even without your body. Isn't that weird, but important to realize? And in the same way, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he can come to all of us because he doesn't have the confines of a body. And so it would be just like Jesus walking into the room, except he can be with you, Lisa, and he can be with me, and he can be with all of our friends listening, because he is not contained by time or space or flesh. And so when Jesus said that he would ask the Father and the Father would send the Holy Spirit, and we have this Acts story that people point to whenever they discuss the Holy Spirit, but this outpouring of the Spirit of God, we don't just get wind, we get presence of the Spirit of God. And so when we can say that is the person of God coming close to us, and in this moment, yes, God is with all of us because he's everywhere, but the Holy Spirit, who was in Jesus, the same spirit in Jesus without flesh, is now here with me. And scripture says abides in me. what in the actual world is happening? You know, like, how can we not live as though we have power? How can we let the enemy tell us that we're all alone when the truth is that God has come so close, that he is within us, you know, closer than our breath?
I love what you're saying. Obviously, I love it so much, but I also love you, to hear your passion for the Holy Spirit, because I do think that kind of passion comes from the experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think that when we have experienced that presence that you're talking about, and when we really have felt, I mean, it's such a unique feeling, right? It's like there's nothing else like it, to feel the presence of someone who's not physically here, but feels as though they are physically here. It's remarkable. And it does create such a passion and such a connection and such a love. And it makes you crave. It makes you crave more, and the relationship and going deeper and all of those things. And so I love that it becomes layers upon layers upon layers the more that you experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so I love to hear the passion for how you've experienced the Holy Spirit in your own life. And that's powerful for us as listeners. Fill in this blank, if you would, for me, Becky. The Holy Spirit is awakening me to blank in my life right now.
Oh, trust. I love that. He's awakening me to trust him more in my life right now. You know, what I love about God is that he's infinite. You know, we think we get to the end of the Bible and we're like, well, that's all there is. You know, I've read it cover to cover. This is all he is. And maybe we don't think that, you know, deeply, but or say that, but the truth is that there is so much of God that we could spend our entire lives. There's a line at the very end of John's gospel that says, and there were many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. And so I just remember that there is always deeper available to us. There's always more intimate available to us when it comes to the Lord. There's always a greater trust, a deeper faith, a closer relationship. And so while I feel like I trust God pretty fully, I feel like he's saying, but do you? Because there's more. Do you trust me entirely with this area or that area? So I feel like he's awakening me to a greater understanding of what life looks like surrendered in trust.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life, is awaken. It's really what your book, God's So Close, is about. It's about being awakened to the Holy Spirit in our life. And I love that word, awakened, because I feel like so many of us are asleep to what this powerful presence wants to do and be in our life, but also not just powerful, but comforting. We know the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And in this moment in time and in our lives and in the turmoil and in all this instability that is swirling all around us, there's nothing that we need more than the comfort of the Holy Spirit, than the guidance of the Holy Spirit, than the power of the Holy Spirit, all of those things that the Holy Spirit can provide for us. And so I love this discussion. I love your book. It's so, so good. This is my last question. I ask it of every single guest. What is the last thing that you would say about Jesus? The show is called Jesus Over Everything. What's the last thing you would say about Jesus if you could only say one more thing?
Well, you know, I got to be honest, Lisa, the first thing that came to my mind is that Jesus is enough. But I feel like if I had time to sit with that question a little bit longer, I would want to say, Jesus is what you're seeking. Jesus is what your heart has craved. And, you know, I'm an author and I'm a words person. And so if I was reduced to a sentence, it would be, Jesus is all there is. You know, I mean, that's it. I could go on and on and on. And Jesus Over Everything, you've written the book on it. You live your life on it. You have the podcast and the, you know, people that come and speak into this. But I think when we boil it down, like when we just boil it all the way down, Jesus is the sustainer of the insatiable seeking and searching of our hearts. And he is the fulfillment of everything that you want in your life.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for your book. And yeah, just thank you for this conversation. It was great.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Thanks for listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. If you want more info on my recent books or Bible studies, Jesus Over Everything, or The Hard Good, the best place to find out all of that is on my website, lisawhittle.com. You'll find everything there. And hey, I'd love to connect with you on social media, so find me on all the usual places. Instagram's my favorite, by the way. @LisaWhittle is where you'll find me there.